Wow, what a powerful worship. Thank you to our team for leading us in that time. You know, this isn't like church where they get my sermon title a week ahead and they get to prepare the songs. This is all the Holy Spirit really just integrating and bringing together a spirit of worship for us today. So thank you to God for coordinating everything through His Spirit. My name is Sarah. I am so overjoyed to be here to share the word of the Lord with you today. And I am just anticipating that God would come, that God would show up, and that God would do a work of healing and rejuvenating in the hearts of every single person that is here in this room. Amen? Amen. And so can I ask you to all rise with me? And I'm going to read the word of God together for us today from Mark chapter 2. And when Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed, and he went out before them all so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Amen. For this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we're standing, can I ask you to just open your hands as a sign of your heart being open to the Lord? And let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you that you are alive and present in this sanctuary right now. We thank you that you have called each of your daughters and sons by name this morning. Jesus, it is not just mere words that heal and transform us, but it is your very spirit at work to cultivate, to heal, and to rejuvenate us from deep within. And so God, as your children have their hands and their hearts open to you, God, would you be faithful? Would you minister to them? And would you fill us with your Holy Spirit at this time? We thank you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As mentioned, I teach here in our practical theology department. I teach in our practical theology department, but I also am director of a new center that we have created called the Tyndale Center for Pastoral Imagination. I also am a bivocational church planter, meaning my husband and I and a team of pastors, we all have full-time jobs, but just out of the passion of our hearts, we have a church that we operate and we run every Sunday and throughout the week. I also have three children that are 11, 8, and 5, and so I have many different hats that I'm wearing. And a question that a lot of people ask me is, they say, "Sarah, how do you balance it all?" I'll tell you now, I don't. My children go to school late about 3 days a week. You know, there's always a pile of laundry somewhere. If you send me an email, I probably won't write back in 10 minutes' time. You know, I realize it's not about balancing my life and being able to do every single area and every single hat that I wear perfectly, but it really is about integrating all that I do under the loving, directing guidance of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so something I've started to do, you know, we're talking about cultivating our faith today. Something I've started to do to integrate my faith life is that I just ask God, "God, you know I can't be in 10 places at once. So would you just lead me in your spirit so that everything I do would be able to come together in a miraculous way that only you can do. And so every day I live, I just ask God, God, how should I live my day today? And I open my ear to him. And I realize, brothers and sisters, that being able to be a conqueror in every area of my life, it doesn't mean that I follow a meticulously planned out schedule and that I sleep only 5 hours a day and I'm able to get everything done perfectly. It simply means that I have my ear open to the Spirit to see where God is leading me and how God is giving me his word for that day. And so as I was preparing for this day, I was like, integrate. You know, I had a very busy week last week. You know, my kids had field trips. We had events here at Tyndale. I had speaking that I had to do. And I was like, Lord, give me a word for your people at Tyndale. Give me a word that I can speak that will give life, that will revive the hearts of people that are just, you know, you're tired from winter, you're tired from the term, you're tired from all the emails in your inbox. Give me a word that can bring healing to their hearts. And this word actually came to me through the mouth of my 5-year-old son, William, who goes to a Christian school. And day by day, you know, what we try to do is we integrate the messages that we speak on Sunday at home with our children. So we do devotions through the passage that we're going to preach on that Sunday because we love to hear their insights. You know, in my 13 years of post-secondary education, there are still things that my children see in the Bible that I'm unable to see. And so one day after school, he said, Amma means mom in Korean. He said, Amma, I learned the coolest story. I'm going to tell you about the story of what Jesus did. And my son told me this story in Mark 2. And as he was telling me the story, something just lit up in my heart. And I was like, this is it. This is the word that God is bringing to our Tyndale community. And as he was retelling the story to me, the first thing he said, Amma, did you know that these people were at Jesus' home? And I had to pause for a second, and honestly, I had to go back and look at the text, because I was like, they were. They were at Jesus' home. And all the times I've heard this story, I don't know why I never noticed this line where it says, you know, that Jesus was home and many gathered there so that there was not even room, not even at the door. I even had to look up the Greek. Like, does it actually say Jesus was home, like oikos home Greek? And it said, Jesus was home. He was at home. And so when Jesus came home, this was after he had been healing, doing miracles in so many different places. You know, the multitudes had begun to learn what Jesus was able to do. And so they were just coming at him from every corner of everywhere. And so he went home, I'm guessing, to have a little bit of respite, but the news spread. You know, Jesus is home. We need to go find him. And so now at his house, there are so many people, and the house is so full that there is not room for even one more person to come in. And yet in this scene, Jesus in his house, jam-packed of people, we see 4 men who are walking over to the house with the paralytic man on a mat that is unable to walk. As you can imagine, they're carrying him there, they're excited, you know, this person is going to get healing, we're going to go see Jesus, and they get there, and the house is full. They're not able to get inside. At this point, my son said, Alma, do you think they gave up? No. They did not. Do you know what they did? They did a really naughty thing. My son said they climbed up on the roof and they started digging a hole in the roof. He said, I would never do such a thing. But this is what they did to try to get the paralytic man to Jesus. And what he said was, he said, these 4 guys, they must have really loved him. And it's true. It was love that drove these men to go on top of the roof. You know, it was a very creative idea as well. And to begin to dig their way down into the home to get their paralytic man in front of Jesus. And you know, in olden days, homes were kind of flat roofs like this. And there were wooden beams that would go across. And then they would lay dirt and leaves and different branches. And then they would put a thick layer of mud on top to keep all the elements out. And so you can imagine that they had to dig a very long time to get through that thick mud. And as my son was telling this story, it dawned on me. I was like, this is Jesus' house. I was like, Pumpkin, we call our son Pumpkin. Pumpkin, do you know that Jesus' dad was a carpenter? He was like, oh. I was like, I know. This home must have been fortified. You know, there must have been beam after wooden beam. This home was built to code, right? There was no pigeon out there. They built this home, right? And yet, these men were so devoted. They dug and they dug and they dug and they finally made a hole. And then they lowered the paralytic man through the hole. Again, my son had this whole strategy of how this must have happened. You know, he said they probably got their belts and they probably lowered them down. They're probably stepping on each other's shoulders and their heads. You know, it was a whole strategy. But the point is, it was hard. It took a lot of effort. And finally, after all this hard work of digging, climbing, lifting, lowering, the four people are now standing before Jesus with the paralytic man. And what we see here in the passage, it doesn't say that Jesus heard their plea and they made this great speech about why this man should be healed, but it says that Jesus saw their faith. Now, I want us to picture this scene for a moment, because these four men, they've just made a huge mess. You know, there's probably dirt falling from the sky, and they probably took a long time to actually climb down that hole and bring the paralytic man on the bed with them. And now they're standing in front of Jesus, and now they don't even know what to say. They didn't think that far. They're like, we're just gonna get in there. And they're finally in front of Jesus. And without any of them saying a word, Jesus looks at them. He doesn't just look at them, but he really looks at them. He looks deep into their eyes. He looks deep into their heart. He looks at the dirt on their hands, the sweat on their face. And what he sees in their eyes is he sees his own eyes of love. He sees his own heart of love. And he is so moved by this love that he sees, that has driven them in faith to bring this paralytic man before them. It was a love that drove them to the madness of ripping off his well-laid roof. It was a love that made them risk, you know, falling down from the second story, climbing down. It was a love that fueled that hope and that faith that they just believed that Jesus would do something for their friend. It was a love that Jesus knew so well, that he himself described in John 13. He said, greater love has no one than this, to lay one's life down for one's friend. He was so moved, not by what these four men said or what they did, but Jesus was moved by the heart behind why they did what they did. And the thing is, when we look at this passage, what we notice is that Jesus is looking at the hearts of all the people in his home, in that scene. You'll notice that there's very little script recorded about what people said, because really nobody said anything except Jesus. You'll notice that Jesus sees the faith and the love in the hearts of the four men who dug through the roof. Jesus sees even the heart of the scribes that question and doubt him and judge him with blasphemous thoughts. Jesus sees the heart of the paralytic man and the sin that he has in his heart that needs healing as much as his body. Jesus sees everyone's heart. And out of love for every single person that is there, we see that Jesus not only forgives the man's sins and heals his heart, he doesn't stop there. Jesus also heals the man's body and tells him, rise, pick up your mat, and go home. He heals out of love for the four men that so faithfully labored for their friend, and he heals out of love also for the scribes. Do you notice right before he heals, he said, I will do this so that you may know. He wanted the scribes to believe. He wanted them to not doubt and see truly who he was. Jesus reveals his love that can heal on so many levels because he sees and knows the heart of those that are in his home. Brothers and sisters, this is the kind of Lord that I have come to know, that is worthy of my lifelong devotion. You know, Jesus didn't need the paralyzed man to plea for healing, nor did he ask the four men to make a perfect speech on why the man should be healed. He also didn't discount the scribes for questioning in his heart. He had love for them all, and he knew exactly what they needed and longed for them to experience his healing love. Brothers and sisters, Jesus sees each of your hearts today. Even if you don't utter a word, he knows you. He sees you. And when you have the healing love of Jesus, cultivate your heart. It is powerful and it is transformative. Amen? When we have the healing love of Jesus cultivates our hearts, sin will have no place in our lives. That the light of Jesus will come in and eradicate all the darkness, chase away the sinful thoughts. When we have the healing love of Jesus cultivating our hearts, it eradicates and battles those negative voices that you have in your mind that may tell you, you're not good enough, you're worthless, everyone is better than you, you're not able to do this. When we have the healing love of Jesus cultivating our hearts, it quenches and removes even the issues we have in our relationships, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the anger. When we have the healing love of Jesus cultivating our hearts, even the physical ailments in our body, we don't need to fear them in the name of Jesus, but we have a Lord who has conquered even death itself. Brothers and sisters, Jesus longs to cultivate your heart with his healing love today. He desires for you to have your heart watered with his love until it is nourished and overflowing with vitality and life. We are being called to soak in the love of Jesus today. You know, I mentioned after 13 years of studies, there's still things that I learned from my young children. And one thing I've learned from them is that when they have a hard day, immediately they come home and they don't look to go to the TV. They don't look to have a good snack. When they've had a really bad day, they come to me and they say, "Oh my, I need a huggy time." And they'll come and they'll ask me for a hug and they'll just hug me, soak in my love, because something in their hearts, they just know that when they are covered in love, when they're being held, that it's going to heal and fix things on a deeper level that other things cannot heal. Brothers and sisters, are you going to huggy time with God? You know, as an extrovert, it is so tempting for me to fill every pocket of my day with noise. You know, if I'm tired, it just, you go on the phone or you go watch something, you just binge. And it's so hard for me to set a time where I can go to God and just say, "God, soak me in your love." And so it's something that I've been practicing recently where I'll just go in a room, I'll shut the door, I'll sit down, and I'll physically just, you know, hug myself. And I'll say, "God, would you just come and pour out your love over me? God, would you lighten my burdens, quiet the negative voices? Would you heal and empower my tired body? Would you fill me with love for other people?" Brothers and sisters, Jesus' healing love is so real. It is active. It has hands and feet, and it has the power to save. It is the love of Jesus that led him to the cross and that brought him back to life. It is the love of Jesus that led him to heal so many, even when they invaded into his home. It is the love of Jesus that led him to heal the paralyzed man when he saw his own love in the eyes of his four friends. Jesus' healing love has hands and feet, and we can ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with Jesus' love every day so that as it's overflowing from within us, that we would be able to share the healing love of Jesus with all those that we encounter every day. So I'll tell you now, when we walk out those doors in this world, the message that people are given are that you only are given love when you earn it or you deserve it. And yet the message of Jesus Christ is that his love is given freely as a gift through the sacrifice that he made on the cross. And so how can we become channels through which the healing of love of Jesus, can show up in the most unexpected places? I want to close today by sharing a story. You know, in this effort to integrate our lives, I've been trying to keep my eyes open, you know, for where the healing love of Jesus is longing to come out from my life into the lives of others. And just 2 weeks ago, my husband and I were going grocery shopping. We love to grocery shop. And my husband was determined to go to Sobeys to buy one meat that was on sale. We usually don't shop at Sobeys. Those of you that do groceries, that's like the very expensive grocery store. We're like no-frills kind of people. And so we ended up at Sobeys to buy just this one cut of meat. And as we were checking out, holding our two items at Sobeys, you know, in front of me, I saw this young man with a whole cart full of groceries of fruit and bread and meat. And then I saw from far away a box of diapers. And this is not a good shining moment for me, but I'll tell you now, I was judging this man hard. I said to my husband very quietly, I was like, who buys diapers at Sobeys? This is the most expensive place you could buy diapers. Why is this person buying diapers at Sobeys? And yet, as we got closer in the checkout line to where he was standing in front of us, I looked a bit closer and I noticed that the diaper box said newborn. And then I looked a little closer at the man's face, and he had these big bags under his eyes. And immediately, I felt terrible for judging him, because obviously, he had just had a baby. And so I struck up conversation with him, and I said, oh, did you just have a baby? In my mind, I'm like, is that why you're buying diapers at Sobeys? And then he said, oh, I did. He said, I have a 1.5-year-old daughter at home, and my wife just gave birth to twin boys last night. And we just got home 30 minutes ago, and it was an emergency C-section, so we have no diapers. And immediately I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Lord, for judging this man. And then he took out his phone, he started showing me pictures. He's like, this is my wife and my babies and my daughter. And I'll tell you something, in that moment when he pulled out his phone and he showed me those pictures, something just clicked in my heart. And I suddenly felt such an overwhelming love for this family, this poor man with the big bags under his eyes. And so he paid for his groceries and he walked out. And it was one of those moments where my husband and I looked at each other and we're like, we have to do something. We have to do something to show this man that Jesus loves them. But like so many other moments, it passed. He had walked away. He was already gone. And we were like, oh, like we missed it. We missed the moment. But then as we're walking out to go into the parking lot, from far away, I see him standing in front of the door of the grocery store. And so my husband's like, I'm going to get a gift card. I was like, I'll go stop him. And so I ran outside while my husband went to get the gift card. And I see him on his phone. And I was like, hi. Like, are you waiting around? Can you just wait for a second? My husband and I just want to give you a gift because we just really feel for you. You must be so tired. We just want to help out in some way. And he was like, oh, thank you so much. I'm actually waiting for an Uber because my car just broke down 3 days ago. And so I don't have a way to get home. I just looked at him and my eyes started filling with tears. I was like, cancel the Uber. Cancel the Uber. Sorry, Uber driver. I was like, cancel the Uber driver. Uber, we'll drive you home. And he was like, really? And I said, yeah, don't worry. My husband came, we loaded his stuff in our car. We drove him 4 minutes away. He was actually at Sobeys because it was the closest grocery store to their home. And on the way, he was just telling us the saddest story of how his wife's parents recently passed away. He's estranged with his mom. His dad works full-time. They're away from any kind of family support. Their car just broke down. And he's a labor worker, so he needs to be home to help with his wife. So they have no source of income right now. And as he was sharing the story, he started tearing up. We started tearing up. And we just said to him, you know, we never go to Sobeys. I think we were there because we have a God that really loves you. And we think he wants you to know that he really loves you. We dropped him off. He said, come in, see my wife. We were like, no, she just gave birth. He was like, no, come in. We met his wife. We saw his twin sons. You know, I held them one in each arm. They were like 4 pounds. And since that time, it's been a journey of just pouring out the healing love of Jesus in tangible ways into this family's life. You know, we told our Christian community, and there was just an overwhelming response. We got like Costco-sized diapers, you know. We gave them Costco-sized diapers and wipes. Someone got a breast pump for them. Someone got baby supplies. And initially, they were so shocked. They were like, who are you? And then recently, just yesterday, my husband did a recent drop-off of a whole other load of things that had come in for them. They said, you know, we just didn't know what to say. But we just have to tell you, we felt so hopeless having these babies. We began to doubt maybe we weren't meant to have them. But something about meeting you and seeing the way that you're showing us this love, it's just renewed a hope in us that maybe there is a God. And maybe this God wants to keep these babies alive. Maybe he does love us. Brothers and sisters, when we allow the love of Jesus to cultivate our hearts, your life can be an adventure. We can experience miracles of healing, miracles of new hope being infused, miracles of provision, miracles of Jesus forgiving sins, miracles of even lame people beginning to walk again. And at the end of this passage, when the paralytic man was forgiven and his sins were healed and he got up and walked, everyone around, suddenly they were able to speak again. They weren't talking until this time. And what they said was, they said, "We never saw anything like this." It is my prayer that wherever each and every one of you go, that the way you love against all odds, the way that you bring hope, the way that you rip off the roof when there is no room, the way that you love on strangers when it seems like it's out of your schedule or it's irrational, I pray that when we do all of these things, that people would look at us and say, "We never saw anything like this. I need to know this love that you have." And so in this Lenten season, I encourage you, cultivate your heart by soaking in the love of Christ. Feast on the love of God. Go to him for huggy time. You're going to remember that. Go to him for huggy time. And don't just focus on what you're going to fast from, but feast on the love of God. Invite people to feast on that love of God with you, and then fast from things that distract you or keep you from doing those things. Brothers and sisters, Jesus sees you. And his powerful, transformative love, it can heal and transform your life to a degree that people will look at you and they will say, "We have never seen anything like this." Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you that you are the same Lord in this passage to us today. You are looking into our hearts. You see our needs. You see our sicknesses. You see our sins. You see our burdens. And Jesus, you long to heal us. You long to restore us. You long to pour out your healing love in abundant measure, so that not just our lives would be transformed, but that we would go out as agents of your transformative love in every place that you have set us. And so, Lord, would you fill us, cultivate our hearts with your love today? And as we go into the Lord's table, would you allow your body and your blood to become your very presence unto us, that it would heal us from the inside out? We thank you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we have the joy of partaking in the Lord's table. And when we have communion together, it is celebrating and remembering what Christ has done for us. We have a bit of a liturgy that I'd love for us to read together as our prayer and worship before God. So could you just rise with me? And the parts that are in green, I will read. And please read the parts that are in brown together. Christ our Lord invites us to his table. Invites all who love him, who earnestly repent their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Let's read together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for the joyful obedience through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news, brothers and sisters. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves his love towards us. In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Yes, holy are you. Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, God, you gave birth to your church that is here. You delivered us from the slavery of death to sin, and you healed us in your love. You have made us with the new covenant by water and the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "The cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink, do this in remembrance of me." And every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving grace of the risen Lord until he comes. Amen. Let's pray shortly. Jesus, we thank you for the gift of your salvation. We thank you that it is a free gift that comes wrapped in the transformative and healing love of yours that is abounding and unending for us. We thank you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.